Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO, in Portland. My name is Cecil Prescott, and I'm joined this morning with...
Ah, yes, Celeste Carey, that'd be me. Good morning, all. And I have a really brief, quick announcement about things going on in the community. Check it out, 2009... Good in the Neighborhood Food Festival and Parade takes place in King School Park. That's the 4800 block of Northeast 6th, June 26th from 6 to 9 p.m. Have the parade kickoff Saturday, June 27th from noon to 9:30 p.m. and then Sunday, June 28th from noon to 7:30 p.m. And you will really like to be a part of this and enjoy it. If you have any questions, you can give a call for more information at 503-282-1288. And, of course, this information will be at the front desk for all who call, and admission is free for the Good in the Neighborhood Northeast Portland Food Festival and Parade.
Excellent. This weekend, we were reminded again of how modern communication methods may be used as a tool of social movements. The ongoing struggle over the results of the recent election in Iran, with the government's blocking of the web and other social networking techniques, takes us back to how the fax machine was instrumental in the Tiananmen Square revolt of a generation ago. Indeed, one could argue that societies have always used available means of communications to advance social movements as well. This morning, we will discuss how we are able to use recent communication advances and how they continue to impact and change the way we interact with one another and the world. So, Celeste, do you Twitter?
No, I don't Twitter and I don't tweet.
Do you stay in touch with a network of old friends on Facebook?
Yes, I do, but you might have to redefine what you mean by stay in touch, because I'm very irregular. I am, I confess. I have another process, but do finish.
Okay. And so finally, as Celeste and I discussed how we stay in touch with one another and how we are captive or we use devices to order our lives and as a means of social transformation in society. We'll discuss this morning a recent article by Anthony Penn, who is a professor at Wright University, who reflects on how our means of communications impact the way we relate or choose not to relate to others.
Well, you know, here's the deal. I remember reading this a long time ago, and basically it said, not to decide is to decide. And I will say the same for how we relate on the web or don't relate. In a way, choosing to not do it or do it is still how we relate to people. Now, I jokingly said I don't keep in touch that well with folks because I have a different process. And if you will go to our website on kboo.fm and click on the More Radio, More Talk Radio link there for our show, you will see a link for the article we mentioned if you haven't been there already, and you get a chance to read it and follow along with it. The article talks about it from a different perspective, about the fact that there is a price that has come with this technology, and it has, of course, the requisite postmodern twist in that it's costing more, I think, than it actually gives. If you find yourself spending more time tweeting to your friends or posting to your friends, are you really connecting to your friends? And the author goes on to say, it's like being a disembodied soul because there's quite a few dimensions of communication missing. And not the least of those, and maybe more important than we really understand, is not just the ability to see the person and to be aware of the fact that they are spatially evident, you know, taking up space right next to you, you know, is the fact that you're not able to read the body language. Now, I'm going to go one step further, and I'm going to say, because I love the whole concept of quantum physics, is that if you're not seeing the person and you're not hearing the person and you're not aware of how they're taking up space and you're not engaged with them in any of your other sensory capacities, are you really truly communicating because you're missing everything, sight, sound, smells, that quantum engagement from being next to another person? Is that really communication? So that's partially how we're looking at it. And the other part is not a condemnation of it, but to understand, really, has our definition of communication changed? Have we really changed into such a different being that despite how we like to portray ourselves, we may be alien to those who would come from a time long, long past? So what are your thoughts on it? Because I know you have been dragged in some ways kicking and screaming into the digital age.
I have been, and I continue to struggle with it as a means of communication. And of course, you're speaking to someone who probably did not get a VCR until they were about to go away, and you're speaking to someone who probably got a DVD player just when MP3s were becoming the rage. So I'm somewhat of a Luddite in many of these technologies.
Don't feel bad.
However, I do find with the availability of personal communication devices that they are a means in which to be able to stay in touch, and more importantly, as a way of not only networking, but in terms of engaging others in movement building. So part of the challenge is how do we use those, use these tools and not be used by them, and whether or not we are changed by them or whether we use them to change the world. For those of you who, and there's certain assumptions we've already made in this conversation. One is that people have certainly access to these devices. We began this morning conversation by asking people to go to our website and look at the article. Now, there are many people who do not have those devices in front of them, and so they are somewhat at a disadvantage. So already this is something that's been discussed many mm-hmm. times in terms of the digital divide.
How are we going to bridge that?
In our communications, we have even touched upon that this morning. So we can bridge it in part by it's a brief article that we can read for those who do not have it in front of them. And Celeste gave an excellent summary of it. But in part, let's read in part what the professor says. And his article is entitled Facebook, Twitter, and the Death of Body Language, which I think the point you were making in terms mm-hmm. of communication. Professor Penn writes, I am more than willing to admit that for the moment I was taught to text message, I have been hooked, and I now send with lightning speed hundreds of text messages each month. I use text messaging to handle quick questions, to give quick updates, and basically to have conversations in time frames I control without the demands of face-to-face exchanges. Let me divert for a moment for saying how I use text messages. Yesterday I was part of a church group that marched in the Pride Parade here in Portland. Mm-hmm. And as we were walking down Broadway, I received a text message from my sister who wanted to know whether or not my mother had gotten a TV converter box. So while walking down Broadway, I'm texting my sister about whether my mother got a TV converter box and how it worked. So, you know, we can't avoid it. Continuing, Professor Penn writes, on the level of quick connection, this technology is wonderful, but I can't help but believe something is missing. We may be exchanging information, but are we really communicating? The question is not to suggest a longing for return to old ways of getting things across. I am not lamenting technological advances. I'm not trading in my Trio, and I'm not canceling the media package on my phone or reducing the number of messages I send through that magical device. I am not calling for a technology purge. I am simply noting that technology comes with a price, and this price has something of a postmodern twist. Mm-hmm. By this, I mean that tweeting and other high-tech modalities of exchange send information about happenings, attitudes, feelings, and events, but in a way that disconnects life moments from bodies. We, through our dependency on quick pieces of information, are dispersed and outside our bodies. Life developments become confined to the written word, often in shorthand, and the non-written modes of expressions are lost, at least rendered obsolete. No more body language, no more knowing through voice inflection, and no more reading facial expressions. Bodies become an unnecessary element of our information exchange. We become flexible identities molded around bits of life events with limited ways to interpret them. The experience we share and chronicle on these handheld devices speak about the ways in which our body occupy time and space. But this is done in a way that allow us to live and share ourselves with countless others without any real awareness of the bodies we carry through the world. Exchanging moments of our days with faceless others is meant to fix us in time and space in certain ways. Information is more plentiful and quickly digested, but those sharing and those consuming this information are ghosts, phantoms. Numerous scholars have argued, and I think rightly so, that the body is a text. It is both material and metaphor, both a physical marker of our place in human experience and also a sign or symbol read in ways that define our place in social organization. Mr. Penn continues, in short, bodies tell stories, but these stories require something of a physical presence. Our body carries something of our historical and cultural memory, and only so much of that memory can be communicated through bodiless exchange. Text messaging, tweeting, and so on provide opportunities for the sharing of large amounts of data, but perhaps without the type of quality control one would anticipate when face-to-face or when shared in any way that brings the physical body into play. There's an ability to hide oneself through technology that reduces vulnerability and reserve. What to do about this? I'm not giving up my messaging, and I'm not suggesting anyone should. Tweet if you must. Update your Facebook profile. There's no turning back from this technology, the increased speed and ease with which we share information. However, this ability calls for greater personal control, a new sense of decorum. Accountability takes on a new meaning, and authenticity in this case demand new modes of measurement. While using this technology, it seems wise to maintain a certain level of discomfort, recognizing that there is something about ourselves that is missing from these exchanges. It is important to be mindful that we are hiding pieces of ourselves, and what we write and what it says about ourselves is really limited and somewhat deceptive. Sharing moment by moment bits of information is not the same as nurturing relationships. So says Anthony B. Penn of Rice University.
Now, we do have some other tidbits here we want to share with you, but let's get the conversation rolling here, 503-231-8187. And one of the things that we'll ask, of course, you know, what is the, for those of you who do Twitter, let me put it to you this way. Those of you who do Twitter know this question very well, and basically it's, what are you doing? And the question is asked with the intent that we find a way to share some information that'll make us a little closer to each other. But I will read you my notes after we take these callers, and I think you'll find it very interesting and revealing as to just what we look at as communication and how we value people, how we grow closer to people and not closer at the same time. We'll go to our first caller. Good morning. You're on the air, and thanks for holding.
Thanks, Celeste. And hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you, Cecil. That was brilliantly written and nicely read. Speaking of decorum, it's something I call the governor, and you'll put a sock in it. But I had to speak out early this morning, if you'll allow me. What you just said, Celeste, was the valid question, apparently, is on Twitter, is the what are you doing? But in some ways, for those of us that aren't on it, it's the equivalent of what are you wearing? And I'm not sure that it really leaves much.
Thank you. That's almost my point. That's almost my point. What exactly, you know, does it say when you ask somebody via electronic means, what are you doing? Why are you asking?
Yeah, it's pestering in so many ways. And apparently there are followers as well, which is even all the more disturbing. How many messianic complexes can we develop in our country? But look carefully now. I have a really important point, but before I get to that, this concept, for instance, of Second Life, you know, you've heard of them. Now, you're right, and the author of that article is absolutely right about voice versus text. Text, you're not going to get the inflections and so forth. And now we have Second Life, where you can choose an avatar and do all kinds of crazy things in this so-called Second Life. Now, when I was growing up, Second Life was being born again, but that's another story. And why on earth isn't our life equally important as to the time that is spent in Second Life and World of Warcraft and other kinds of things? Additionally, the concept of anonymity. When we talk about a privacy right, which is not enshrined in the Constitution, but enshrined in decisions made about the Constitution by the Supreme Court, the word privacy is often associated with anonymity. But lately we've found from various politicians and various leaders and so forth that anonymity may no longer be a part of mm-hmm. privacy. Mm-hmm. And this idea that you can go out and poke, and nobody will ever know who you are, kind of concept. But the real reason I called, friends, and I'm sorry it takes so much time, is that KBOO is a social networking site itself, and that there are those of us who cannot afford these digital devices. This is the digital divide. I lost my television on Saturday. I bought the little box and the little antenna, and I have a 13-inch black and white. I haven't figured out how I'm supposed to get the signals. And again, a digital divide, a grand divide, between those of us who can and either cannot or choose not to. Some of us simply choose not to, but like you say, the decision to not decide becomes a decision, but sometimes that decision is forced by mere income. I can't give $30, $40, $50, $60 to a cable company or to an internet company or to hoo-ha and a whatnot.
And you make some brilliant points, but I'm going to have to cut you off so I can get to my next caller.
Thanks so much
for taking the time to call. And, you know, one of the reasons why this is such a multifaceted topic that we're not going to be able to scratch the surface, and I think this might be the time when I actually break down and blog on our More Talk Radio website.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe I'm saying that, but because I have issues with how we do this. We do have another person who had given us some ideas about this, and I tried to capture some of the thoughts in a note. If you go to twitter.com and you've never used it before, they have a tutorial. Now, the young man who gave me some of these ideas, and I'm assuming he's young just based on the sound and quality of his voice
mm-hmm.
and some of his word choices and concepts that he used, has written a tutorial. And I wanted to read excerpts of this because it fascinated me. Because it really didn't address what a lot of us were brought up to think of as communication. And so the excerpt, his about 2-minute tutorial, it says, what are you doing? We ask friends and family this to feel connected to them. Unfortunately, most of our day-to-day lives are hidden from the people that care. We have email, blogs, and phones to keep us connected. But you wouldn't send an email to tell your friend you were having coffee. Why not? And my friend, don't they care? Aren't I connected? Anyway, those are my inclusions. Your friend doesn't need to know that. Well, why not? They're my friend. Aren't we connected? Don't they care? But here's the thing. What about people who want to know the little things that happen in your life? Who are they? Why do they want to know? Real life happens between blog posts and emails. And there's a way to share. This is when I start getting nervous. Mm-hmm. Like, what exactly are we getting into? Thanks to Twitter, it's possible to share short, bite-sized updates of your life and follow the updates of people who matter to you via the web. So you have someone who's addicted to her phone, reads blogs every day, and has contacts, not friends, contacts all over the world where her friends. She looks up her friends on Twitter, begins seeing another side of people. Updates are painting a picture of friends and family, coworkers she's never seen before. It was the real world. I kid you not, it really says that. Each could see the other's life between blog posts and emails. So then you get these short updates. They're only 140 characters long. So that short bite size, is that really information? And you can follow these people anywhere on the phone or on the web. And so by asking members to answer the question, what are they doing, it brings someone closer to the people who matter, 140 characters at a time. Wow. I want you to dial 10 digits, 10 characters, and talk to us. We want to hear your inflection. How do you rate these new communications? How do you keep in touch? What are your thoughts on the whole phenomena of communicating without really communicating, missing the whole other dimension of communication?
Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, more talk radio. We aren't twittering,
no,
tweet.
I don't tweet.
You don't tweet.
No.
But you may want to email us this morning. In this conversation, you can use more than 140 characters.
Yes,
and,
you can.
And our email address is moretalkradio@gmail.com.
So yeah, and that's all one word.
All one word. So we'll take your phone calls or your email, and we'll just have to wait to be Twittered or tweeted at another point in time.
Now, you know, I know in some ways we're a little bit at a disadvantage here, coming across a disembodied voice for those of you who may really want to talk about this, and you can't because you're working and you're driving. And so my thought is, you know, keep your kernel of your thoughts in your mind and sit down when you get an opportunity and shoot an email or write us a letter. We like handwritten letters.
Handwritten letters.
Yeah. But we're making a point here. Conversation, communication involves more than just a quick QWERTY engagement, you know, keyboard QWERTY, you know. It really means putting some aspect of yourself into it. And I'm challenged because I find that if I write a letter to somebody I really care about, I say a lot more than I do. If I call somebody on the phone, I say a lot more because they can hear more of me. They can feel more of me. Don't get me wrong. I'm like the author of the article. I text, but I have a twist in mind. We want you to share your communication styles via the telephone or email, 503-231-8187, here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. And let's go to our next caller. Hi, Marlene. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good morning.
Thanks for calling.
Loving this conversation. Terry Tempest Williams was just interviewed on a program called New Dimensions, which folks can actually still find on the web. Just type in New Dimensions and go to the most recent program, and you can hear it. But what she talks about in part of it is that she wanted to learn more about the animal culture of the prairie dog out in western Colorado, southern Utah. And so she's working with someone who said, what you need to do for the next few days is bring a notebook and just go sit and observe this area of prairie dogs and make a note in your notebook every 15 minutes. And she said after the first couple of days, she thought she was going to go nuts. And because, you know, because the movement was so slow. And so then on the third day, she finally started to understand that the problem was is that she has learned to think that what's happening happens so quickly and rapidly.
Yes.
And that she could not sit and just observe nature in nature's time.
Yes. And which is really our time too, if
that's
we stop and think about it.
And that's what she talks about for us, is that it's not like let's not have any communication devices, but just to understand this time is very manipulated in a way.
How do you interact with these modern communication techniques and forms?
Well, I'm a caregiver. I'm the primary caregiver for my mother, even though she lives independently. And so if I didn't have a cell phone, I couldn't do that because
yes.
I also have a job. And so I can call her multiple times during the day, which I would just find much harder to do if I didn't have a cell phone. And she can reach me anytime.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I know that she's safe. And that's very important. I also teach online classes, but mm-hmm. I don't make any... I'm not under the delusion that an online class is the same as a classroom class. It is not, but it has a place. But there's many classes I would never teach online, and there are some that I will.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, you anticipated my question whether some classes were better to be taught online rather than in person. But
And then I'd even say better, maybe able. Instead of better.
Yeah.
Right, mm-hmm. yeah. Online teaching works, but it assumes... a pretty high level of reading comprehension and writing ability. And you also can't do anything experiential, really.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that I think are real important to do in the classroom, the experiential piece. And you also don't get a chance to communicate with the affective part, the body language, the facial expressions.
Yes.
You know, I mean, in my field, it's common that people will at some point cry because of the materials moving them so much. And
mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're crying when we do it online, because they rarely will write and say, well, I read this article, it made me cry.
You know, and what you're mentioning is one of what I call the quantum effects of these new postmodern communications, is that there's so many dimensions missing. Now, I have to let you go, unfortunately,
yeah,
and thanks
I'm
so much for calling.
But I
have one line I want to tell you that was in an article you'll find really interesting. I did some searches for this, and the article is Twitter and Facebook can kill compassion, studies suggest.
There you go.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Because that's just a further step from what you just mentioned about the online classes
yes.
and whether or not there is that emotional engagement.
Absolutely. And just one more thing. In the classroom, a lot of students do not know how to have a conversation with each other,
mm-hmm.
and they get real nervous if I tell them to put down your electronics for half an hour. They absolutely can't do it.
Thank you so much. You're pointing out a lot of issues here.
All right. Take care.
All righty. Bye-bye.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. And I'm here with Celeste Carrier. We're speaking this morning on the impact that modern communication means have on our society, Twitter, Facebook, Digit, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, all of them.
Give us a call at 503-231-8187 or email us at moretalkradio@gmail.com. We have another caller waiting, so we'll go to that call. Good morning,
caller. Good morning.
Caller.
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good.
All right.
There's a few things I guess I'd like to comment on.
Sure.
One thing is that I don't really feel like it's replacing any sort of communication. I don't feel like we were necessarily writing a lot of letters, maybe watching more television, but it's taking us out and giving us a form of communication that's directly to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, there was already a lack of compassion, and it might not be like the most acceptable form to like maybe relate to other people, even if they are on the other side of the planet, and find similar things
uh-huh.
and identify with them without having to physically go to them and do that is pretty amazing. And at the same time, like, it's a connection through the front to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without... And then there's also really bad things about it, is the fact that we're putting everything in writing with our name on it is, you know, pretty self-incriminating if depending on which direction our society goes.
Well, that depends on whether you use your real name and information when you sign on and profile with these, because you don't have to.
Just the text messages. Your text messages are completely logged and recorded.
Oh, yes.
Everything you
mm-hmm.
say.
Oh, yes. Yes, those are.
But I just don't think it's replacing anything. I think it's a completely different format. And everything that you say that it might be replacing was already gone or out before people started texting and emailing so much.
Well,
I think if anything, it filled that void because we were already not communicating and not talking to one another and not relating because of where we were in with media and society.
Okay, so you're saying that there was a gap that was already established and brought about by things like television and computer
bad
games.
News. Yes.
Right, okay. Now, you know,
information.
Go ahead, Cecil.
No, I was saying I thank you for that insight, because it raises, for in terms of my awareness, you said that we weren't already communicating. I think you're correct. There certainly was a generation or more who had lost the art of, say, letter writing, and this might be a means in which people begin to communicate, even if it's shorthand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, I do agree, but the one thing that worries me with this particular form of communication is that it's very flat. It doesn't engage you fully, and I'm concerned.
But it makes you want more.
Well, but want more of what? Okay, let me ask a question. Do you Twitter? Do you tweet?
No, I don't.
Okay. How much more can you give somebody if you just answer?
It also has to do with the quality of phone that I use.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Being able and types, and like certain phones are just built ergonomically more to type on. And I would prefer
right.
to type than talk. It's easier to articulate. I don't have to. I don't know. I don't really like talking on the phone. It's not something I enjoy. You would rather
not
answer and meet someone somewhere than spend 15 minutes talking on the phone about it. And I could ask them if they want to be there and then go physically there, and it just makes more sense to me. I use it as more of like a time and place.
And okay. It's just, okay. So you strike your balance by using it to augment communication, real-time communication. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
One of the things that I find engaging about people who do use the phone and would prefer to text instead of talk is that I think there seems to be a communications gap in what we mean when we say communicate.
Hmm.
You know, because have we a little bit more time? Because I thought I got the signal. Okay, here's the thing. Yes, I'll meet you somewhere. Okay, that's cool. I can text that. But what if the person I'm talking to lives in another state? Do I want to hear email or do I want to hear voice inflection? I prefer real-time communication because, like a lot of people, I read a lot more than just letters, and especially 140 at a time. I want to hear inflection. I want to hear if somebody is tired. I want to hear those sighs. I want to hear those silences because those speak just as much. And then there's the quantum effect of communication. And anyone who's lived in a big family will understand this, or is from a country that has different ideas of personal space, where you are compacted together, you're close to a person. You know whether that person's had onions today. You know whether or not they maybe have been working out. Maybe they're a little sweatier than usual. They might be actually giving off heat while you're standing next to them. There is a quantum exchange going on that we miss. One of the things that we talk about in the world that helps bind us together so that we do have commonalities is the fact that I breathe you literally, you breathe me. We're breathing each other's effects. So we share things on a molecular level. Without that, we become that disembodied person, that disembodied voice. And who are we then?
Yeah, in terms of who are we in terms of communication, and as you were sharing those perspectives, a couple of things occurred to me in terms of what do we mean by communication. I think the definition has changed. And also, what do we mean by personal communication and also social communication?
Yes.
I think the argument can be made that in terms of, if to use the word very broadly, social networking, these devices have been a tool in terms of developing social networks and in terms of movement building. We mentioned at the start of our program how the government in Iran was blocking websites and other means of communication, and we've seen how it can be used in, for example, in a demonstration. If you know thousands of people are there and you want to know what's going on in the front of the crowd or in the back of the crowd, you can have immediate information. That's very important. On the other hand, it's used in terms of personal interactions, so that it's not unusual for people to receive a text message from their girlfriend or boyfriend saying that I'm breaking up with you.
Mm-hmm.
That is so strange, but it's not an uncommon phenomenon, I understand.
Well, the thing, though, that I also want to ask people to call in about is how do you use it in terms of your personal communications? When it comes to I guess trying to relate to people that you say you know well, but you don't. If on Twitter, the idea is life happens, real life happens, between blogs, posts, and emails, which is both a duh and an epiphany at the same time, yeah. It makes you wonder how people define time and relationships as well. For some folks, maybe breaking up over text messages, via text messages is okay. It's acceptable because that's communication. You got it. You know it. So what's the deal?
What's the deal?
You know? So there's an extra dimension to communications that maybe is developing, even if some of us might look at it as kind of sterile. What are your thoughts? How do you interact with the new modes of technology that are available to us to get to know each other? Give us a call. Get to know us.
And our numbers again are 503-231-8187. You can also email us at moretalkradio, MoreTalkRadio at gmail.com. We're speaking this morning on means of communication and its impact on society and interpersonal relationships. As we continue our conversation, a couple of things that you might want to share. How often are you, say, on Facebook? Mm-hmm. Are you able to separate yourself from it? Are you addicted to it? And in terms of twittering and tweet, I'm not quite sure what's the verb and what's the noun.
Well, it's like they're both the verb and the noun for Twitter.
Okay.
But it depends on how you use it in terms of the actual proper, precise way of using it. Don't know, don't care, because I'm afraid if I try to learn it, I'll be caught up in that net.
And isn't it part of it is that these normal rules of engagement of languages has changed.
It has changed, too. But we have another caller online. Thanks for calling in. Good morning. Okay, our engineer is making the pass here. Oh, okay. Well, while he's doing that, I want to encourage people, if you have the opportunity, to do a little search and just type in what is social networking sites? What are social networking sites? And you will be surprised what comes up. Okay, now we're ready.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Cecil and Celeste.
Reggie, good morning. Bob. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. You know, Nas, the rapper Nas, he put it best. One mic. He just uses one mic. He gets his message out to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. However, oh, he's coming to town, too. That's cool. Him and Damian Marley are going to do it together.
All right.
What I do, I'm glad to have finally gotten into the text department, the texting.
Yeah.
Oh, less than a year. I've been texting less than a year. And, you know, I drive a taxi, and I have a lot of friends who drive taxis. And one thing that we use that with a lot is, you know, we'll help each other out. We'll get a call that we ourselves cannot cover the call, so we got to get one of our friends to do it for us.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of driving and trying to tell, you know, a lot of my brothers are from Africa,
mm-hmm.
and the cab drivers mm-hmm. of Africa and Latino. And instead of me trying to get the address talked out and they're writing it out, I'll pull over and I'll text the address to them. I'll text it,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. They'll text it back to me that they got the address. Sorry, the jet flying over. They'll get the address, and it works very good for us in the taxi and transportation industry, for sure.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Well, you know, now just listening to this little short exchange, we got a lot of information. And that's part of what I'm talking about. Not only did we hear your voice and your inflection, I'm hearing the jet flying over. I'm hearing your little ding ding and don't leave your keys in there, you know.
Yeah.
And it's all part of that experience that I think no amount of typing will ever, you know, translate. But at the same time, you are getting closer to your comrades. You are sharing important information. So like Anthony Penn said, and like some of our callers have said, it's not a substitute. It's got to be an augment. I have a question here for you. Now, you said you've been texting for less than a year.
Yes.
How much more do you think you text, and how much less do you think you talk?
Oh, good question. Good question. I got a comment after. Don't let me go.
Okay, really quickly, though.
I think I'm doing put 30%. I'll get 30% of texting now. I'm talking about 30%.
Okay.
Of my communications. Because, you know me, I don't talk much. But I communicate more. I do many numerous things. Don't have time for long, extended communication. So when I have a phone conversation or any conversation, it's usually something to do, something got to get done. Don't really have time to ask how you're doing, how's the weather. You know, I don't have time that much for those things.
Mm-hmm.
One comment I'd like to make that I've been seeing a lot of, and I saw it again in the paper this morning, is a mass tweet. You know, I don't tweet. I don't think I'll ever get into tweeting. But for people who have cafes and restaurants, oh, my goodness, they'll send out a tweet to say, hey, we're going to be at this corner at this time. You'll mention this particular key phrase, and you get a discount. And then they'll have a mass grouping at that intersection or that parking lot. I think that is very cool for a little cafe or a little mobile taco shop. That's very cool, and I'm not mad about that.
All righty.
Thank you for Lisa, for what you do.
Thank All you right, for your call.
You. Okay.
One thing he mentioned, which in terms of communication, he'd say that in his industry, there are people from various countries. And so one thing that people have different accents and in terms of communication. So one advantage is you can make sure that the information get across clear when you text it. So,
and that's an advantage. One of the things, though, I think is important to note is you give up something to get something. So are we losing time actually talking to people when we're texting? Because our caller earlier, I believe it was Marlene, said, well, I've got people who can't even have a conversation because all they know how to do is communicate electronically. So that's another question. And we do have another caller holding online, so we'll get to them. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. How's it going?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm good. This is an interesting topic. I'm glad you guys are doing it. Something that I was kind of thinking of, I guess I sort of agree with what different people have said, but it seems to me that it's sort of, I don't know if you talked about this, but whenever people are critical of these sort of new technologies, I always feel like it's sort of an implicit generational criticism.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm 24, and I think for a lot of people my age, things like text messaging or like social networking is just sort of part of our culture. And I feel like, I don't know, maybe people in the 60s did with adults, like, criticizing, like, rock music or this or that.
A long hair or jeans.
Yeah, they did it. That a lot of adults don't really understand, or maybe they use it in sort of a different sort of way, like just an augment to their other lives. But, like, for us, it's sort of just a natural part of life.
Excellent
and
point.
Of it seems sort of alarmist when people criticize it, like it's going to lead to an end of human contact, which, like another caller said, I don't think anyone, like, prefers these sorts of communication to, like, spending time actually with a person. I think it's sort of a straw man to say that one takes away for the other.
Well, let me ask you something, though, caller. We did have one woman who said, I don't really like to talk on the phone. I like to be there. Now, and granted, I think that's valid, you know. And for the record, let me say, I don't think that these new forms are invalid. I'm just lamenting the loss of certain things that might be more valid.
Letters really, I think letters would be cool. But, I mean, letters were gone. Letters were never used my entire life.
Right. So, like, but what about phone calls to people who are further away, say out of state, and actually listening to their voice as opposed to texting them? Which would you prefer to do?
Well, for my friends, I prefer not phone calls because I don't really like the phone. It's not really a technology I'm as comfortable with. But like relatives, I normally talk to on the phone because they don't use, you know. Texting or social networks, like older relatives, but
I don't want to make you feel self-conscious, but there's something that you're saying that is so important, and I'm trying to make sure I get it. What is it about the actual phone that's uncomfortable to you?
It just seems unnatural. Like, I can't see the person's facial expressions, so it's hard. Like, most of the digital forms of communication, they're more a little closer to a letter. Like, you can take time to think about what you're going to say. Like, a phone call has all the pressure of real time without being able to pick up on the social cues, like facial expression or body language. So, I mean, I don't view it as like maybe for older people, it seems just natural. But to me, it's I mean, it's just as artificial as, like, internet communication. But I personally find internet communication easier to, maybe even easier to relate to people.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I want to thank you. I wish we had more time to talk, because you're saying a lot of things that are important. I want people to understand that we have to work where we are and the tools that we have. And what I hear you saying is that generationally, this is a very valid, useful, respected tool, and it's all in how you employ it.
And one more thing I should have gotten to, but I've hung out with people in person who I probably never would have if I hadn't been able to get in contact, like people I maybe hadn't seen in a couple of years, and normally I just would have forgotten about. But since it's easier to contact them, you know, I hang out with them when I wouldn't have if, you know, I had to, like, write them a letter or something, or, like, go to their house directly, like, out of the blue, you know.
Okay.
So thank you for having me on very much.
Oh, thank you so much for your call.
And thank you for talking on the phone with us.
Yes.
Yeah,
appreciate
it was hard, but I did it.
All right. You know, we need more time to do this, and maybe we'll come back and visit it again, not real soon, but, you know, to do it. And then please, don't forget, you can send us email via our KBOO website or our blog. Because we're going to blog on this one. It's moretalkradio@gmail.com, and moretalkradio is one word. And I'm really curious to hear all of your thoughts, you know, regardless of how you use the technology or don't. We do have another caller, and I want to try to get to that caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going? Well, actually, it's just me now because Cecil had to leave.
Oh, well. Okay.
We didn't have TV, so you didn't get to see that part.
No, not the magic of the visual there.
Yeah.
Anyway, like the last caller, that was kind of interesting with the maybe it's a generational thing or whatnot. But I like hearing, you know, people's voices and stuff. And, you know, letters used to be something that I used to get. And I haven't gotten a letter in, I don't know, it seems like 100 years. So that's just something that seems to be kind of completely gone. But anyway, I think the whole tweeting thing is for some people just a way to feel important. Just like if you look at a face-based page or something like that, it's a way of people to heighten their self value, shall we say, you know, for a way to pontificate about things that they care about and feel that maybe somebody else does. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, part of me does hold that view, which is one reason why I have never really blogged, because I figure the people who know me and love me, we already exchanged that information, and those who don't, I'm not so sure that they really want to know about that small detail of my life between blogs and emails, you know. So, but I like the exchange of information one way or the other, and I like it to be an exchange. So it's hard for me to just have a one-way conversation, which I think a blog is.
Right.
Yeah. But I think you raised some really good points, is that for us not to forget that generationally, we have to kind of work where people are. I have a question, though, for people who don't like to talk on the phone but love to listen to the radio. What's really the difference?
You know,
and I wanted to ask the caller that, but we're a little short of time. But thank you so much for your call, and I've
all
got
right,
one more
person. All
right, well,
you guys person. Take care now.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 if you are in the Columbia River Gorge and the Willamette Valley. It's 100.7. KBOO.FM. Coming up at 9 o'clock, Old Mo Variety Hour interview with Harvey Schwartz, author of Solidarity Stories, an Oral History of the ILWU. A review of the notes of Amanda Cross and commentary on the paradoxes of our antisocial society. 10 o'clock, hear headlines, interviews, and commentary on Air Cascadia with Chris Andre and Liam Delta. 10:15, if you love this planet, Dr. Helen Caldicott interviews marine ecology professor Richard Thompson about his research on the effects of plastic debris on the marine environment and the ecology and conservation of shallow water habitats. At 11 o'clock on Health and Healthcare Forum, host Roberta Hall, members of the Health Equity Alliance. They talk about what health equity means and how it can help our lives. And of course, at 11:30, how about a broad coalition of groups and 1 million of their supporters who have issued a call for disbarment of 12 torture lawyers? You can get all this news and information that you didn't expect to know here on Your Community Connection. And we'll go to our next caller, and thank you so much for holding. Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I love your show. Listen every week. And,
thank you.
I'm not sure if you brought this up or not, because I haven't been paying really close attention this morning, but the health issue of texting. You know, the generation before me got carpal tunnel at 90.
Yeah.
My generation got it at 60.
Mm-hmm.
My children are getting it at 30. And if you text on an ongoing basis, what's going to happen to your thumbs?
Ah, good question.
And, you know, that was brought up to me by a naturopathic physician. As, you know, she kind of laughed and she said, you know, how long are their thumbs going to last? And that's what I wanted to bring up is, you know, eventually everything has a life expectancy. And, you know, some of us will be able to text. I don't do that. But some people will be able to text forever, but a lot of people will develop arthritis in their thumb, and then they will be pretty disabled.
You know, that is a frightening concern, and I'm expecting technology to take it another step forward, though, and this is paradoxical because I can voice program my telephone, which means we're back to the voice. So I'm wondering, will we find a way to overcome that? But you bring up a really important concept is, again, there's a cost, there's a trade-off for every step we make forward if we don't really investigate how we're moving forward.
Right.
Oh, thank you so much for your call.
And thanks for being there.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I got an upgraded telephone because I wanted to send pictures. The reason I wanted to send and receive pictures is because I live away from relatives and I want to communicate. I started texting because I wanted to send them a quick text to say, I love you, or I'm thinking about you, or how are you doing, miles away. But I decided to do a twist on mine, which is why I got a good quality camera and not a QWERTY keyboard. I take pictures of things that are important to me and the people I communicate with, and I include those as part of my text message so that it's not just random letters. It's a picture, hopefully, that has 1,000 words. Anyway, let's go to our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Great.
Good.
You know, there's something interesting in listening to this conversation. I think for the parents who hate how much their children text message, I think they would rather have spent time on the phone. But text messaging kind of substituted not using up all of the minutes.
Yes.
On the cell phone plan.
Yes.
So I can remember parents complaining about, you know, don't use the phone before text messaging was readily available. And so text messaging became the substitute for not using the phone. So it was almost like out of a punishment for not using up the minutes, they were forced to text message. And now it's bigger than actually using the telephone.
Well, see, then what it is we look at it, I would like to expand it and maybe say not punishment, but consider this. What if this whole idea of texting is so much more market-driven than anything else? And so, once again, the market has wedged between us and the people we care about by creating a gap, and we're trying to bridge that gap. And as one of our callers suggested earlier, well, there was already a gap, and texting is a way to try to bridge that gap.
True. I guess there are many perspectives, but I just know with my 13-year-old, he text messages about, I think about 20,000 text messages a month is what he gets.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
After getting a cell phone bill for $600, I'd rather him text message than spend $600 a month because he doesn't know how to regulate his minutes. So I think there's kind of a balance in, you know, there are many forces playing on it, I guess.
I think you're absolutely right. And thanks for reminding us that some of this was market driven and a way to stay in touch but not use up the minutes, the resources. Thank you so much for that. Well, I have to go because there are other folks who wish to use the technology to communicate with you via sound. And I want to thank everybody that called. And as Cecil and I said, please, let's continue this conversation. You can go to kboo.fm, click on More Talk Radio, send us a message. Or you can go to Gmail, and or you can send it from your own particular email, and send us a message at More Talk Radio, and that's one word spelled out, More Talk Radio, at gmail.com. And give us your thoughts on that. Let's continue this conversation about how electronic media has changed how we connect with each other, how you use it, and what do you see to be some of the challenges and benefits of it. There's so much more we can ask. Enjoy talking to you and hearing your voice, and hope you have a wonderful connected day here on your Community Connection, KBOO Portland. This is Celeste Carey, and I hope you get closer to somebody. Reach out and touch them for real. Check it out. Bye-bye.